Good morning!
And happy Halloween!
This is a Halloween, a what?
A spooky edition.
Spooky edition of the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I, Squidbilly Bo Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon.
Look, no.
Hey.
We've stomached the whole good morning thing.
Don't ask him.
I will not stand for you to say I am he.
Don't ask him what the P stands for and Mikey P. Johnson.
That's me putting my foot down.
Well, you can put that size 19 down because this size 8.5 is going to run right over you.
Well, it's going to hurt when this thing goes somewhere where the sun don't shine because you're not doing that again. Can't stand for it. Won't stand for it. It is a spooky edition, though, man. What's funny is I haven't dressed up in a while, and I get, obviously with the kids nowadays.
What are you going
for? My wife asked me to be Gru, and I was like, nah, man.
Who's
like
that?
Just Gru is the guy from Despicable Me. The Minions movies and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's fat, he's bald, he's got a big nose. So I'm just like, nah, I don't think that's gonna be my vibe. But my kids have like 3 Halloween costumes. There's no guarantee that they're going as Minions, which is one of their costumes, and that's why she wanted me to be Gru. So I was like, no, thank you.
You should do your kids when they get old enough to go to watch the Goonies. You should let them watch it, and then you could go as Sloth, and they would know.
I don't think I've ever seen the Goonies.
You never seen the Goonies? Dylan? No. Dylan? Oh, my
God.
I've seen the Goonies multiple times.
Dylan?
I can't believe he hasn't seen the Goonies.
If you were inside this room right now, I would hug and kiss you.
Here's the thing. How many times do we have to have this conversation?
I've seen the Goonies. I love the Goonies. That's one of my favorite movies. I got to check.
I think maybe like 89.
Dylan, have you seen Hocus Pocus?
The Disney Channel movie?
Actually, it's not a
now.
That movie came out in theaters.
Did
the original Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, the original Hocus Pocus.
85. The Goonies came out in 85.
I have seen Hocus Pocus.
I think they did a remake, though, that was on the Disney Channel, unless it's not the original. It might be the original, but I think they did a Hocus Pocus 2 recently, right?
Yeah, they did do a Hocus Pocus 2. I haven't seen the second one, but I've seen the original.
Okay, good. I was just making sure.
The Goonies has a star-studded cast, man.
First 1985,
off,
dude. Come on.
First off, Richard Donner. He directed it, and he's done a lot of good movies as director. Steven Spielberg wrote the story. It's got Sean Astin, that's Rudy, if you don't know. Also, Samwise Gamgee and the Lord of the Rings.
What Halloween costumes were they?
Josh Brolin. Nothing. It was you could go as Sloth.
Oh, you're saying I should have dressed up as one of the people from the Goonies.
Yeah, Google Sloth from the Goonies.
I don't think as many people would have gotten that as you think they would.
I think most people would have gotten it.
I don't know. Do you think it's a cult classic?
It is a cult classic.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it.
If Dylan's seen it, you know it's a cult classic.
Yeah, that's true. And it came out in 85.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Dylan was born, 10 years later?
11
years later.
Did you watch it as a kid, or have you and Simone watched that together? I'm just curious how you
found it. I've watched it recently as an older adult, but when I first watched it, I was a kid. I was actually, we were talking about the other day, I was at when I visit my cousin when they used to live in California. Actually, that was the first time I was introduced to it. Like, they knew of the movie, and I hadn't seen it yet, so we all watched it together one night, and I absolutely loved it. So, the first time I was introduced to it was a kid. I was probably, somewhere around teenage, 14 or something like that.
I mean, the only reason I say that is that the guy that played Sloth played the NFL. John Matusak.
Gotcha.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, he played. I think he played for the Raiders.
Dude, it wasn't until a year ago that I realized that Seabass was the president
Cam Neely.
Of the Bruins.
Well, he wasn't when he was in that movie.
I know.
He wasn't
when
he was in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, when he got promoted, though, I was like, oh, man, this is crazy.
It's a Hall of Fame hockey player, bro.
Yeah, it's a Hall of Fame movie, too. The Goonies probably not, but I don't know.
Like we said, it is Halloween. Last night, the Bronx turned into House of Horrors for the Yankees. They're up 5-0.
Yeah.
And the wheels come off. Aaron Judge hits a homer. Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm hits a, was it Chisholm that hit the homer?
Yeah, he hit a tater.
It was back to back for him and Judge. And
Rizzo was on deck, got his fist in there. He's like, yeah.
They're up 5-0, and then the wheels come off. You know, Aaron Judge has what I would call a routine pop up in center, and he just drops it. And he just took it. You could see there was a guy on, so he takes his eyes off for a split second. He drops it, and then it just led to a calamity of errors for the Yankees. It ended up tying, and they retake the lead, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And then the Dodgers come through again. Freddie Freeman did not hit a home run last night. However, he had two more RBIs, 12 total, which is a Dodgers franchise record in a playoff series.
How did you feel when the Dodgers won? Like, how? What was your we haven't talked about whether or not you were pulling for one team and the other. I was. I'm curious.
So, I am a lifelong Yankees hater.
Yeah.
I did not realize that I hated the Yankees until 1996, and then they broke my heart. Charlie Hayes, Jim Leyritz, hits a home run. You know, Andrew Jones, at 1996 World Series, Andrew Jones is a 19-year-old kid.
Isn't that wild?
He hits two home runs, and I think it was game one or two. Braves go up 2-0 in the series, come home. They're about to go up 3-0 in the series. Series is over if they win that game. And Jim Leyritz hits a homer off Mark Wohlers at the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. And
I'm with
ruined,
you though, man.
That ruined broke my heart.
We talked about this before. I try not to hate anything or anybody. Like, I don't like hate.
Teams are okay to hate. You don't hate their players.
Well, and here's the thing. Hate is a strong word to me in my house, and I don't like to use it. But I do. I am a lifelong Yankees hater. The problem is that the Dodgers have done everything kind of in the image of the Yankees. You know what I mean? They've kind of turned into the Yankees of the West Coast. The thing I hate about the Yankees is the money they spend and the way they go about their business. And last night, in whatever inning it was that you're talking about, it turned into the house of the horrors and fell apart. That was, to me, the best thing ever. Because I was like, this is a microcosm of you can't buy a championship. You have to do the little things right. But the problem is, on the flip side, Dodgers did a lot of the same stuff, right? They've spent more, you know, if not more money.
But
right?
See, I didn't even get there. I've always hated the Dodgers, too.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because Mike and John Fricke does the best job on the radio station of explaining the rivalry, that why people, if you came here after like 1994, you don't realize why Braves fans have always hated Dodgers fans. For some reason, Atlanta teams, when they were created in 66, or moved here in 66, they were put in the NFC West and the NL West in their sport, in the Braves and the Falcons, right? So we played the Dodgers every year, and we hated them. And they spent money. They spend money now, but they were always beating us. So I've always seen the Dodgers. So it's kind of a torn, but I'm like, lesser of two evils. However, we both have Yankees ties. My neighbor across the street is a huge Yankees fan, and he's from that area originally, and it was where he was born. And so it's hard for me to see. He's a guy that has always pulled for my teams. Every time the Falcons wins, he's like, hey, man, that was a good game for y'all.
No. Hell, you're not going to do this.
Let me finish. When the Braves played in the World Series, he was pulling for the Braves for me. So I was torn on, I just feel bad pulling again. I want to see him at least have something out of it. So I was almost to a fact where I become neutral.
Don't you let him get away with this. He's having fanhood by extension, and I won't let you stand for this. Fanhood by extension, Dylon, does not happen. Doesn't let you get away with
said.
The Eagles thing.
Hold
because
on,
your girlfriend likes the Eagles.
Hold on.
And here
true.
You are but talking about, my neighbor always pulls for my squad.
But Dylan, did I ever say I was pulling for them? I just said I had a hard time pulling for their demise, but I hate both teams, so I'm losing either way.
Look.
Either way, I have to see the Dodgers or the Yankees win the World Series. I'm screwed no matter what. I just, honestly, I had no emotion. I woke up at 11:45 last night as the game was about to end. I'd fallen asleep. I woke up. I watched the final inning, and I sat there, and I was like, I don't feel any way about this. There's nothing good for this at all.
So you were, but I'm sure you guys both were happy for Freddie, right? I mean,
well, and that's the other
really.
Part.
You weren't happy for Freddie?
I was.
I didn't mind.
I was.
He's went through a rough year.
Yeah.
I think we forget that not only did this guy miss most of the or some of the NLCS with this ankle issue.
Yeah.
But also the stuff that happened with his son is brutal. And so as the human element of him as a father fighting through adversity this season, that did not hurt my heart at all to see that. I was not opposed to seeing that at all.
Yeah, that was the biggest story to me when it comes to Freddie Freeman and the MVP race and everything else going on. I love to see it, man. And I don't know. I didn't have any hard feelings toward it. I was glad the Yankees lost.
Yeah. I would have been glad the Dodgers lost, too. They both could lose, and I would have been happy.
Stadium just go into the ground.
It's just one of those deals where you don't really have a feeling because you don't like either team. But you know what? Our team, plays Sunday against a team I've always despised.
Team we do like.
I've never been a Cowboys guy. I've always despised them. So it's going to be easy for me on Sunday because, you know, the Falcons are my team. Mike and I are going to talk about how the Falcons in 1 month have went from one of the worst third down teams on offense to one of the best. Yeah. Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
You ought to see out. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Morning Shift, a spooky edition. Woo! You like that? Well, you know what, dude? You know what would be great costumes for us? You know what would be perfect costumes for us 1 year? If we hung out at a Halloween party
together.
If
you say Robin Big, I'm going to punch you.
No. Well, close, though. It's very actually
Twins,
very close.
Danny DeVito, Arnold.
No. Although that's a good one, too. How about... Me and Bo go as Undertaker and Paul Bearer 1 year. Undertaker.
Oh, Denver! Let me tell you something, old
dude,
Warrior.
Tell me that we would not win Halloween. Tell me we would not win best dressed at a costume party
my
if we
dad,
went as Paul Bearer and the Undertaker.
My dad is going to kill me right now. No. My dad is he was actually 5'10" at one point in time. He was always taller than me, but he's always been kind of in shape, but he's had a mustache my entire life, but
sure.
Not like a child molester one, like a regular, like, you know, thick enough. You better dump that, Dylan. I probably shouldn't have said that. But you know, he's always had a thick mustache.
Yeah.
And he, when we were in high school, he started like dyeing his hair. I'm pretty sure it was.
A little just for men action.
But because, you know, he's
touch of gray.
Like, he's always conscious of want to keep it, you know, professionally and you know, aging out and stuff.
There's anything wrong with
that. There's obviously an age discrimination thing that has happened at some point in time in this country. And so I said, well, he started calling him because of the way he had his haircut. I looked at my best friend. I was like, man, my dad. I was like, well, he's got a little Paul Bearer look going with the hair dye.
little John Travolta these days.
Well, I know.
John Travolta got that, you know, that real hard hair color right in the front, man.
So he started calling him Paul Barron.
Oh, man.
My dad got so mad.
Your dad dirty like that, man.
Yeah,
Shout out to the Father Squid. Grandpappy Squid. Hey, speaking of which, and we're going to get to the Falcons Cowboys news here in just a second. Huge injury news coming out of Dallas. Has your parents, are they going to stick with their same grandparents' names when your child comes along?
They chose those, and
I was gonna say,
and I'm gonna have to fight that, but no, that's fine. Dude, I'll
leave it alone too. I went down the same path that you're talking about.
You didn't had to deal with that.
Name. Yeah, didn't love the name. Tried to change it, didn't stick.
Well,
and here we are.
My mom's name is Ma'am. That's what they call her,
Ma'am.
And
yes, ma'am.
Because I don't think my grandmother. I don't think my mom wanted to be called Grandma. Or granny, like that.
I don't think most of them don't anymore.
You know why? Because we're kind of a generation where, or our parents' generation is kind of one of those where they don't want to be dated like that.
Right. Yeah, well, it sounds old. That's fine. All right, so two of Dallas's top defensive playmakers, Deron Bland, Micah Parsons, getting a little closer to their on-field returns. It looks to me like reading some of the injury statuses yesterday, Bo, that both guys working with the injured group off to the side yesterday in practice, Deron Bland coming off of IR, obviously. If you listen to Mike McCarthy's presser, however, it sounds like that Deron Bland coming off IR might be closer to return maybe than Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, he said today, would still be off to the side, and the goal was to get Deron Bland back in pads today. Are you any more nervous about this game than you would have been otherwise with the thought that Deron Bland is back in the mix?
No. Micah Parsons is the one that worried me. I know Deron Bland's a good player, but no. It may be a little bit more if this was 22 or 23.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, I trust – look, Antoine Winfield came back last week, and I know they're different. They do different things.
And Kalijah Kancey.
But Kalijah Kancey worried me more than Antoine Winfield did coming back.
Interesting. All right.
Because, you know, we're a little banged up front. I know that I don't want to jump the gun here, but I know the Falcons have designated Drew Dahlman to return.
Yeah.
And so his window is open is all it does. I think Ryan Neuzel plays again. But that's, so, you know, Neuzel, knowing that Bergeron had left the game the week before going into Tampa, but worried me. When Lindstrom didn't practice yesterday, because of the same reason he left. I think personally he'll play.
Got rolled up, yeah.
I think that the outlook, me looking at it now, I've been wrong before. I had it was funny because people on Twitter love to try to go back a month or two at a time and try to play gotcha. And I had a guy try to play gotcha with me yesterday. Oh, see, you didn't think Troy Anderson was a big deal. You said it because he's not on the IR. It's not a big deal, but he's missed a month. And I said, yeah, and he's still not on the IR. And when guys are not on the IR, it makes me think that it's not something they think is that could keep him out for months at a time.
It's week to week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is.
It's clearly kept him out a month now, almost.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I thought because of that. You said it was week to week. So when guys don't go on the IR, I'm not as worried.
Where do you think we are right now on the Troy Anderson thing? Because I saw yesterday the practice report that J.D. Bertrand was out with a concussion yesterday in the Falcons injury report. And with all the roster moves going on, I know we signed another linebacker, I think, to P-Squad yesterday. I have questions about what the linebacking core is.
Well, Rashawn Evans is back on the practice squad last I saw, and they did sign another guy. I think he's day-to-day.
Yeah.
I think there's a
chance. I mean, it's hard to go any further than that.
But he practiced last week.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he practiced last week, didn't play, now he doesn't practice yesterday. I think if it was a playoff game, he'd be going.
Yeah.
So how do you view this game? I think you're going to see how he feels Friday. I think he's day-to-day. I think he's week-to-week. Like you said, I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's closer to playing today than he's not, and I think that's a good thing. I think there's a chance. I think if you absolutely need him, he could go.
Yeah. One of the things you and I came in the office talking about today was, you know, the end of Kirktober. Today is October 31st. Kirktober has come to a close. We loved Kirktober. What did that mean for the Atlanta Falcons? Well, obviously you got some big wins. You had some rough losses along the way, but the numbers that you and I were kind of breaking down, and speaking of Daron Bland and Micah Parsons, right? We're talking about third down percentage. And it kind of started, you know, picking up dust and picking steam when we started looking more at what October was. The third down percentage has gone through the roof. And this was to be honest, this is a conversation that Chris Goforth and I have had on the post game every week, it seems like. And I don't know that I understood the totality of what October was until we started looking at it this morning, because I've gone kind of week to week, and you look at the percentage, and you knew there would be correction, right? We came out of the Pittsburgh game. It was awful. Every third down percentage in preseason was awful, but Kirk didn't play. All right, and so you moved on from there, and it's 26 and 30, and then you and I got into the numbers this morning and started breaking it down, and you can go over them. But October was a new chapter, my friend, as far as the third down percentage goes.
Yeah, so after the Saints game, Mike, they are 29th in the league on third down conversions.
So that would be after week four?
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, let's just go by the dates of the games. Going into the October 3rd game, a Thursday night game against Tampa Bay, they were 29th in the league, converting 26.3% of their third downs.
Okay. All right.
Now they were 6 of 14 in that game.
Okay. Against the Buccaneers on Thursday night.
Yeah. 43%. Yeah.
Right.
Right at.
It's okay. I mean, that's good. Right? You throw for 500 yards, you think it's probably higher than that, but that's fine.
Well, I think you only had 14. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's phenomenal. After converting 26% in the first 4 weeks, converting 42.9 is phenomenal.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so that's after the Bucs game. You got 43% against the Bucs in your ratings climb on the season.
Yeah, so now you're at 30.8%. You're
on the 20, season.
On the 6th in the league after the Tampa Bay game. That's right. Going into the Carolina game. You converted 50% in that game, 6 of 12. So after the Carolina game, on October 20th, going into the October 20th matchup with the Seahawks, you are 23rd in the league in third down conversions at 34.4%.
Okay, so let me. There's two games in October now. So you're saying 43% against Tampa on Thursday night, and then you back that up with a 50% against the Panthers the next week.
Yeah, and a win.
Right, so now we're going in the right direction.
So after the Seahawks game, which you converted 8 of 15, believe it or not,
ooh,
you were actually 53%.
Okay, now we're still going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Now we're 53%. So now our third down percentages in October are 43, 50, and 53. Even though the Seahawks game, you look at it and you go, man, that was probably one of our worst games.
It was. I think it was your worst game all year.
Yeah.
Not offensively, but overall. I mean, just as a whole, as a totality.
I'm getting to the point, and I want to get to. I'm getting to the point where I'm just not including Pittsburgh in anything.
So just, yeah, well, I thought Kirk Cousins said something telling yesterday in his interview with Dukes and Bell, where he even they asked him about the offense and his and I'm not sure if it's his cut or not that Dylan has for me, where he talks about the growth of the offense, but they literally talked to him and he was like he said, oh man, you're on the same page with Zach Robinson and everything. He goes, yeah. Kirk goes, I would have said after the Steelers game, I don't think we're speaking the same language. But here's Kirk on the growth of the offense before we finish our third down numbers.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress in the sense that, like, week one after the Pittsburgh game, I wouldn't have told you that we had great chemistry. So, like, it's a little bit of a...
Neither did we!
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's a little bit of, like, every week just trying to stack the experiences, have good conversations, ask good questions, get on the same page, and then see how that carries over the next week. And the same would be said for my teammates of, hey, Drake, I didn't know you were going to do that. Like, let's talk about that, because if you do that, I can get you the ball. I just wasn't aware. So every week trying to get more on the same page and believing that in doing that we're going to be better and better, you know, as we move forward.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. So you get on the same page and you start speaking the same language, and the third down percentage starts going up. Hit me with that fourth third down percentage this month.
So you roll into Tampa Bay at 38%. You're 19th in the league. And you convert 50% again. You were 6 of 12 again.
Now we're talking.
So now you're rolling into this Dallas game. Rolling in, I'm like, you go into this Dallas game, and you are 39.6% conversion rate on third downs for the season, which puts you at 12th in the league. That is top 15. That's a top tier. That's top half of the league. So the way you gained 17 spots and 13.3 percentage points. The way you did that was converting 26 of 53 in the month.
Numbers wise,
26 of 53 in the month of October, 49% conversion rate in the month of October.
Boom.
I mean,
come on, dude.
So you really made a huge gain in the month of October on third downs.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable when you consider how bad it was before. Pretty unbelievable when you consider how bad it was before, man. So shout out to Kirk Tober. A lot of fun in that aspect of it. Look, coming up on the other side, college football. It's the cocktail party. There's been a lot of words talked about on the future and the location of this game. We'll talk about the other side. Also, just for good luck, Bo's going to sleep in his car this weekend for old time's sake. Yeah.
I drive a truck.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. You are rocking out over there. Wait, tell me what this...
You don't know this?
I do know it. I just can't tell you who it is. But it's old, and I feel like it was in... They might have used it in... since it is Halloween. What was that witch movie called? It was like an all-girl group.
Yeah, we were talking about it
Hocus
last
Pocus?
Time. Hocus
no,
Pocus?
No. This was like...
I know what one you're talking about. With the, it was like in the late 90s.
Yes.
And is it Neve Campbell was in it?
Yeah, I think
it was,
yes, Neve Campbell. I'm going to look at Neve Campbell witch movies, what I'm going to Google. Anyway, I think this might have been in it.
Probably. This is a band called White Zombie. It was Rob Zombie, who makes a lot of horror movies. It was his original band. And then he broke off from the band. This was Astro Creep 2000 album. Yeah.
That's actually alarming that you know that much. But
I've seen Rob's.
The Craft.
The Craft, yeah. That's it.
I never heard of that one either. Never heard of that one either.
Yeah, you just, you know.
It's just a black hole in the history for me.
No, it's like Cruel Intentions. It's like on the Cruel Intentions level.
Cruel Intentions is a phenomenal movie.
Classic. It is a good movie. I have definitely watched that one before.
Tiffany, real quick, have you seen The Goonies?
Yes, but it's been a really long time. And I do understand that, yes, that is another, like, cult classic thing.
Mike hasn't seen it. That's why we ask.
Oh, it's been a minute. And I can't even tell you if I've seen it in its entirety.
The reason Dylan's...
I know clips.
Dylan's playing a lot of Rob Zombie, White Zombie. That's like, he's like a how... I've seen him in concert. I saw him at the Tabernacle. And it is like... I actually saw him at Ozfest, too, one year. But it's... He's got like a whole horror kind of setup. Like, it's like... It's a weird vibe, but if you like kind of rock music with a little bit of like techno feel to it. Rob Zombie's your guy.
Sure. All right.
You said a techno feel
strange,
to it.
Strange combination, but nonetheless, I'm sure it's entertaining.
I don't know, techno might be a wrong word, but
Tiff, before we get to college football, the headlines, I have a question for y'all. And I guess, Tiff, you can't answer this. Bo, do you miss Gary Danielson at all? Like, I've been looking at a couple of Gary Danielson interviews that have been on CBS HQ the last couple of days, and I'm like, man, I kind of like haven't even thought about the fact that I haven't heard Gary this
year. He's still doing games.
Yeah, I know. But
we don't watch a lot of Big Ten.
That's my point.
We're more.
Do you miss him as part of the Gator broadcast or for me, the Bama or Georgia fans?
I miss Brad Nessler.
That's a good point.
I'm a big, and I know Brad.
Well, he's been on the show too.
Yeah.
Yes, you've known him for.
Since I've been in the business, yeah. I've gotten to know him. Brad is he's one of my favorite people in the business. He's a real dude. He's fun. He's no nonsense about. He doesn't like act like he's one thing and be another. He knew the late Miller Pope, who was very instrumental in my career. And when Miller passed, Brad came and spoke at the funeral. So I'm a big Brad Nessler fan. I miss Brad, and I like hearing Brad do games.
Yeah,
he's a voice that resonates with me. So I don't miss Gary as much. I'm okay with. I mean, I could. No, with all due respect, I could take or leave Gary Danielson.
I like Gary, but yeah, I got you.
I don't dislike him. I just don't love him either.
You're not wrong.
I just don't. I'm just
so
indifferent.
We're in the middle.
I'm indifferent. That's the word, indifferent. Kind of like the World Series. I was indifferent.
Are both great guys, both really good colleagues. Let's get some update on college football. We are rolling along here on the morning shift and getting you set for a weekend of college football. And so, of course, you have the Georgia-Florida game. You know, who got on to me? Who was it here that told me it's not the Florida-Georgia game?
What's the Florida Georgia? Rusty says it's not.
Not Rusty. Nope. Take a guess.
Was it Drew?
Someone that might be on a afternoon show.
Oh, I don't listen to anybody in the
afternoon. Someone that might be on an Andy and Randy show.
Oh, Randy. Yeah. he's more mid. Yeah, I don't. Randy, look, hey, Randy's got to say that. He played there. Randy was a good Hall of Fame. Good Hall of Famer. Good tight end for Georgia. I think Randy beat. I can't remember if Randy was on that nine. No, he was on the 2000. I don't know if Randy ever beat Georgia. I mean, beat Florida when he was at Georgia.
I don't know. I had to look that up.
Because I'm trying to go back and remember when they. I don't know if he ever beat. It's Shock. I think Shock beat. I don't think Shock beat Florida either when he played there.
That's brutal.
Well, Georgia had put out basically their availability ahead of this game with some news coming out that we know two guys are going to be ruled out of the first half of this game who were ejected in the Texas game. Dan Jackson and Jonel Aguero will both be missing the first half of this game. So Ja'Cory Thomas and KJ Bolden will start in their place. So obviously that's going to affect your defensive backs. And then your offensive guard, Tate Ratledge, was listed as probable, which is a better sign that he is trending up. Like Kirby Smart said, they're going to keep an eye on him. He has missed the last four games following ankle and knee injuries that he suffered in that win over Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think Tate Ratledge needs a rest this week. I think they need him for the Ole Miss game. I don't know why he wants to rush back.
At this point, I'm not sure he's not the I can't say on their offense. I'm not sure he's not the best player on their offense if he's playing.
I think it's telling how much they've struggled at times offensively and how one-dimensional at times they've become without him there.
I mean, I don't know about that. Like, I think there's still a good offense, and that's not a knock on anybody. It's not a knock on Carson Beck, and I know there's been questions about Carson Beck that Kirby Smart's had to answer this week. There's been questions about a number of players, really, and I know this is a big game for ETN as well, right? I mean, obviously, that's going to be big. I just look at Tate Ratledge, and I said this before they played Bama. To me, he's just one of the best players on their offense. He's the longest tenured player at Georgia, and when you look at what he can do for that running game and the things they've kind of lacked without him, I think he's one of the best players. So if they can get him back in the fold, that's a huge upswing for the Georgia Bulldogs this weekend.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it is big for ETN, but also Jaden Ball. It's a big game for him. This guy came on the scene. He's a Georgia kid, freshman. He's ready to go as a Florida Gator. He's ready to prove to Georgia, why didn't you come get me?
Well, look, and I know we got to go to break. I want to touch on Florida and Georgia and the fact that they're going to be in Mercedes-Benz in 2026, and then they're going to – what is it? Is it Tampa?
Tampa.
They're going to in 27?
Raymond James.
Dude, yep. I love this.
It's a good stadium.
I love the Atlanta-Tampa thing. It just makes a lot of sense.
Well
– I'm glad they didn't do Orlando.
Orlando – Anyways, Tampa's
I'm glad they didn't do
Tampa's
Orlando.
A great. I am too. I'm not a big Orlando fan.
Either one of those football stadiums in Orlando.
I like the game on the neutral field. I just think it kind of adds to the atmosphere of it. Just makes it feel so much bigger. Even when one team is not good, it makes it feel bigger. You're right. That's a good word. Yeah. Tiff is bigger. I like the fact that they're doing it like this and not home and home like they did a few years ago.
And I'm glad that it's two different stadiums. I'm glad it's two different places. I'm glad it's not, hey, we're going to go to Mercedes-Benz for 2 years or Tampa for 2 years or Orlando. I'm glad that they're doing one in Georgia and one in Florida.
It
makes sense.
Tiff, you know Roger Goodell, right?
Yeah, right.
You've met him before.
Roger,
you've met
him before, right? No, yes, I've met him before. And also, he did know like everyone's names. I met him last time I would have interacted with him would have been back at NFL Network. And so, yeah.
You give me a word with him because in 2027.
He's at our meetings this year for CBS.
Good. Get a word with me next year because 2027, I need the NFL schedule to have Tampa Bay and Atlanta play Tampa Bay in Tampa the same weekend that Florida plays. Now, they would never do that because, the field.
Yeah.
But, man, that'd be great for me.
Yeah.
I can throw down there early.
Yeah. I think it would work out for you. That'd be nice.
Oh, let's see what I can do. Anyway. When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll get you some injury news on the Cowboys front. That's still to come. And this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back here in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.